Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith. Thank you for joining me as we continue on in a message I started this week based on Psalm 116. And what we want to start doing today is focusing on what the psalmist says in terms of how can he respond to God's goodness and God's graciousness. He was in a terrible place, that horrible pit that David talked about, and God, while he's not specific, whether it was a serious illness, threatening physical death, or just death of a sickness of heart, of great trouble, of great sorrow, or persecution. He said, I said in my haste, all men are liars. So obviously there was some very painful thing he went through. But there are seven things I'd like to share with you, and he's asking a question. This is really the heart of Psalm 116. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits unto me? And it says, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. So what shall we give to him? What can we do for him? How can we express our gratefulness, our appreciation, our thankfulness, first of all, for who he is and for answered prayer, what he does for us, his wonderful promises? What's the answer? He says, I love the Lord. I will love him. God's goodness, beloved, stirs our hearts to love him more. When you see him wonderfully answer prayer, when you see deliverance come, how grateful you are. And it encourages us to ask even more of him. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. As we willingly and voluntarily yield our hearts to him, we know that he's loved our souls out of the chains of death, not just physical death, which is in the case, he will bring sometimes his people back from the very brink of death, or from the spiritual death we would have experienced before we were saved. And in verse 2, he says, I will call upon him as long as I live. God's graciousness prompts us to increased prayerfulness. And beloved, let me just say, this is a challenge I extend to you. Sometimes when we've prayed and prayed and we don't see the answers yet to our prayers, sometimes we get faint-hearted and we just sort of give up our prayerfulness. We give up seeking after the Lord. And you know what the Bible says about persevering prayer? Remember the unjust us, the woman that widow that came to him and kept tormenting him? And he said, I don't fear God or man, but just because she's continuing to come to me and I don't want to be bothered and bugged by her, I'll grant her request. And shall not our gracious, loving Heavenly Father do as much for us? So he wants us to continue and persist in persevering prayer. We see that magnified and exemplified in the life of Elijah. He had to pray seven times before a cloud the size of a man's hand appeared. But beloved, as we continue to pray and seek him, I would suggest that challenge I offer you is to begin to ask even more largely, as bigger things. So often I think we limit the Lord. God has so much more for us, but because of experiences we've gone through, it's just our little tiny needs. Well, God, I need this, and would you do this? But God wants us to ask largely that our joy may be full. And so I just encourage you, whatever it is, begin. Because you see, whatever discouragement, whatever apparent defeats, whatever you have gone through, what's the purpose of it? Not only to get you down into the mully grubs of despair, but to prevent you, to hinder your faith from even asking larger things or continuing asking God, because you know, what good does it pray? I don't see answers to my prayers. Oh, that's just where the devil wants you, beloved. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. So you will love him. You will call upon him, just as this psalmist does. And then in verse 7, because he's confirming, gracious is the Lord, righteous. Our God's merciful. I was brought low. He helped me. And then we can rest in him. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. We show our faith, our confidence, our trust in God by resting our souls completely in him. This is what God wants us to do. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 and 29, how clear is this? How simple. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And are you hungering for this? He says, ye shall find rest unto your souls. You know, there's a place in God, beloved, where fear doesn't have to torment you anymore. You don't have to be afraid of the future. You don't have to worry about anything. Have we all arrived at that? No. Things can happen that will tend to stress us, which is a form of fear, low-level fear, but it's still fear, anxiety, or full-blown-out fear. Beloved, we need to enter into a place of rest that regardless of whatever happens, our God is for us. He's not against us. And so we don't rest in works, but we rest from them. We which have believed do enter into rest. What does Hebrews say? 4th chapter, verses 1 through 3. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise of being left us, of entering into his rest, any of you, any of us, you, me, anyone, should seem to come short of it. And beloved, where there's fear, fear hath torment. There's no rest in fear. But God is speaking rest and peace. Peace to your heart right now, if you will receive it. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. And then when we're strengthened, when we are refreshed, when we can know that peace that passes all understanding, then what? We can walk, we can get back up. If we've been knocked down by the devil, we can get back up and continue to run the race. We will walk with him. We can submit to him the affairs of our day. What does verse 9 say? I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living, not in the shades of darkness and defeat and depression and discouragement, but in the land of living where all things are possible to him that believeth. When we're in a low place, you know, he who sings songs of joy to he who is heavy of heart is counted as a curse. Or, you know, I mean, we have to be sensitive to one another, but God's dealing personally. You're alone right now, and so God's dealing directly with you, beloved. Whether you're at work, whether you're getting ready to go to bed, whether you're on the freeway, he's wanting to lift that burden and just to restore hope and faith that everything is going to be all right. Hallelujah. Everything's going to be all right. 2 Corinthians 5 and 6 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Why? Because you, beloved, are choosing Jesus as your constant companion upon your life's journey. He will order all the details of your daily life before his all-seeing and all-knowing eyes. Hallelujah. And then what happens? Okay, he can rest from the trouble, the sorrow. He will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And then he will speak for him. Verse 10, I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted, but he is able to testify. And so, beloved, you and I will be able to testify. In fact, even now, you may be in a difficult strait, but you can testify as to what God has done for you, how he's delivered your soul in times past. He doesn't change. His promises doesn't, you know, there's not a time limit on his promises. Our lips will be able to speak his praise, and our tongues will not be silent. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not only just our initial salvation to testify of his goodness, but on the ongoing effects of peace and answered prayer. And the Amplified version of that says, I believe, trusted in, relied on, and clung to my God. And therefore have I spoken, even when I had said I'm greatly afflicted. And then 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Praise God. And then, beloved, this is point number 6. What have I shared thus far? I said I was going to share 7 things. First of all, I will love him. Verse 1, I will call upon him. Verse 2, I will rest in him. Verse 7, I will walk with him. Verse 9, hallelujah. And 5 is, I will speak for him. That's verse 10. And then verse 6, I will take from him. That's verse 13. In other words, we will receive. And where my time is drawing quickly to a close, but this is what he's going to do. What shall I render for all of his benefits toward me? Verse 13 highlights it. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Where tomorrow we're going to look at what does that mean? The fullness, anything you have need of is there in that cup of salvation. And so I do invite you to tune in tomorrow at the same time. If any point you miss a broadcast or want to re-listen, just go to our website, unveilchrist.org. You can click on the broadcast and listen anytime at your convenience. However, beloved, there's a time in all of our lives we do need the support of agreeing prayer. If you have someone to pray with you, a prayer partner, that's wonderful, or a spouse or a family member, that's great. But many are listening and you don't have someone like that, or it's such a difficult situation you can't share it with anyone. Well, even if you, whatever, that God knows the need, even if it's unspoken, say, Sister Glass, I have an unspoken request, please pray. I will do that. I will pray in the Spirit, because he prays the perfect prayer according to the will of God. I invite you to write. If you email, I invite you to share your mailing address so I can personally respond back to you, although I will always confirm receipt and pray. I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.